Hi, so I'm Marcus. I'm a team captain here at Maywood Baptist Church, and over the past 8 months, Jake and Maywood has been pouring into both me, Brian, so much, and like so our very first gift that they started pouring into was this gift of preaching. So here we go.
Yep.
So have you ever worried about something that's like totally consumed you, where you just couldn't get anything else done? Johnny, Kristen, Jake?
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you a few questions here. So have you ever worried so much about whether you left an appliance on at home or the coffee pot on, to where when you're at work, you just thought about it all day? Or have you ever been on your way to middle school or high school and worried so much you're going to get shoved in the locker, or you were going to be bullied on the playground or the basketball court, to where you just, it's just, you didn't even want to go to school? Have you ever worried so much about that you wasn't going to have enough money to pay your bills after going to the grocery store? Have you ever worried so much about what somebody thought about you, what clothes you was going to wear, or if you were going to be accepted, and then that just totally drove you to the point of this miserable place? Or have you ever had some type of pain going on in your body that was unexplained, that you've been to the doctors and they have no answers for you, and you just, you know, it just, that worry just sits with you, and you have these fears inside you that you don't know what's going on or what could happen? So if you're here in this room and none of these worries, see, things are jumping out at me. if you're here in this room and none of these worries have applied to you, when you leave here, so you're not human, okay? If none of these apply to you, when you leave here, I need you to stop in that prayer room at the end of the hallway and meet somebody else that's not human. We used to be human, but not human anymore, and work all that out. So today I want to talk about worry, and I want to talk about this story of my daughter Noelle. This is Noelle. Noelle is one of the best of two daughters on this planet. The other daughter is sitting right there. Yeah. I might have had a little slur in the first service, and you know, it might have came off wrong, but she's here, so I had to make sure that it was right.
Yep. Best of both, yeah.
So Noelle comes to me about, it was about 2.5 months ago, says, "Dad, I am going to Mexico. I'm getting my passport, and I'm going to be there for 3 weeks." I'm like, no, you're not. She said, "Dad, I am grown." Well, you know how 18-year-old daughters are. Some of y'all know how 18-year-old daughters are, or used to be a daughter or a son, and you know how that feeling is whenever you're 18. The world says you are finally able to accomplish or take on life by yourself according to the law. And, yeah, you know, she feels that way. So, you know, I don't really have any choice. People came to me and said, you just need to stop her. Well, try stopping an 18-year-old daughter, especially mine's a beast. So anyway, so long story short, for 3 weeks up until the time that she was going to Mexico, I was scared, man. You know, my picture of Mexico is like this. You know, the cartels running all over the place with machine guns. You know, they're going to be after my daughter like they are all the other pretty girls, and they're going to force my daughter into sex slavery. And you know, you got these little kids running around with kilos of cocaine and fields of marijuana. And you know, this is my perception of Mexico. I've never been to Mexico. You know. So, and I knew that my daughter was not going to be on a resort. She was going to be in Guadalajara, which is a huge Mexican population. And I had all these fears inside of me, and I just didn't know really what to do with them. So the more people that I talked to about the situation, the more scared I got. So at this period of time, I was getting ready to get married. I was talking to a lady that's a wedding coordinator that, you know, she's sent a lot of people. She's seen a lot of people go on these honeymoons to Mexico, and she told me some of them don't come back. So, like, all these different things kept pressing to driving this fear more and more and more.
You guys have probably had that experience. If you're anxious about something, you start to think on it, get more and more worried, and the more you worry, the bigger that fear gets, bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So then Noelle, me, and Julian's mom kept calling me, texting me, saying, "I gotta find that passport. We're gonna have to get rid of that thing, because you know what I'm saying."
Yeah.
And saying, "You can't let our daughter do this." All these different things. I'm like, man, you know, and she's Hispanic, you know what I'm saying? Like, but she, if she's really scared about Mexico, then so should I, you know? So all these things just kept adding up till I had to do something. I got backed in the corner of this fear, and I had to come out, you know? So my greatest idea of coming out was to call Noelle's boyfriend, the one I didn't really know that much, and it went a little like this. "If something bad happens to my daughter, I will spend the rest of my life hunting you down and torturing you." Does that sound like something a Christian man should say to somebody? The fact is, 90% of you guys in this audience would say that's all right, you know? And the thing of it is like, but this fear causes you to do something that you really want. It's not right for me to call somebody up and threaten their life, you know, even though it's my daughter. But we all have these entitled fears.
Yeah.
So before I get into the entitled fears, let's read what Jesus says about it.
Okay. So Matthew chapter 6, where we're going to be at today. Marcus is bringing us this great story about his fear. But before we read this, I want you guys each to picture something you're worried about. Because it's easy to keep it on Noel in Mexico, but every single person in the room is struggling with some sort of worry. Jesus has got words for worry, but make it real for yourself right now. Picture, what's that thing right now that you're worried about? Jesus in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, this is coming out of the New Living Translation. I've got a typo there at the bottom, but it says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?"
All right, Jake, let's stop right there. So if you're here in this room, you have never starved to death, you have never died of thirst, and you've always had clothes to wear. They might not have been the clothes that you liked, but you have had clothes to wear, unless you chose not to wear them and you rode around naked, if that was your choice. You've never died of starvation. You've always had some type of food or drink, and you've sustained. Jesus has made a way for you to sustain.
Yeah. Verse 27 says, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest." Yeah, look at the birds. "They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?"
So this worry is the biggest waste of time there possibly can be. You know, like, you can sit around and think about this bad situation forever and ever and ever, and it never changes a thing. Doesn't change nothing. Does it add a single moment to your life? No, it steals your life. It steals the life that's inside of you.
Yeah. And all of us know that. We shake our heads at it, and yet we all struggle with worry, right? That's when you need some help. When you're stuck in something that you don't even like, that's when you need help, right? Verse 28, "And why do you worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he not certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith?"
Let me stop you there real quick, Jake. So actually, go on to the next one.
Yeah. So don't worry about these things saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs.
So Jesus already knows everything you need. It says it right there. But he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. We can say that we believe in Jesus and we believe that he can take care of everything. But if we're worried, who's holding the ball here? We're holding it. We're saying, I'd rather have this worry than give it to you. Jesus is saying, thoughts of unbelievers. I wouldn't want to be classified in that group there.
Yeah, definitely.
Give it to him.
Verse 33, it's an awesome promise. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and God will give you everything you need.
That's the ticket right there.
Yeah.
This is the key verse of this whole thing. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Do what Jesus wants you to do. Live righteously. You know, do the next right thing. Do the next right thing. Live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. Key verse.
Verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Yeah, so there's always going to be things, more and more things to worry about. So this worry stuff
that had built up in your mind, that all this terrible stuff's going to happen to Noel.
Yeah.
And it's building bigger. And you guys realize that. A lot of times we worry about something and we start worrying about stuff that couldn't even all happen. Worried about seven different things that couldn't even all mutually happen. So you're worried about drug cartel and all this craziness, but what actually happened to Noel?
So, this here is what actually happened to Noah. You know what I'm saying? This doesn't look like anything what I pictured it to be. But the fact of it is, you know what I'm saying? Like when we're scared, we do things that we normally wouldn't do, you know? Like I can't say that I wouldn't normally threaten her boyfriend too much, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't normally do it like to that extent. I might say like, yeah, some real slick stuff, but not like put it out there like that, you know. But the thing of it is like when we're scared, when we're backed in the corner, when we don't have our natural reaction of to figure out how we're going to get out of there. Picture a dog, okay? For a dog, for instance. If you corner a dog into an area of the fence and start coming out, he's going to come out, and he's not going to be real happy. And he's going to probably bite the crud out of you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the same thing with what happens with our worry and fear. When we worry, it drives the fear. When we're fearful of something, we start doing things that we normally wouldn't do.
Right.
Also, worry gives the enemy a foothold, you know what I'm saying? That drives out Christ. So this worry, it gives Satan a foothold in our life. If we're driven by that worry and we're fear, then it pushes Jesus out, so we don't normally do what we, yeah.
Yeah, none of us wake up in the morning and we think, oh, today I want to do something I'm going to regret. Today I want to hurt somebody I care about. But you picking up what Marcus is laying down here? Like when you worry about stuff, that's going to grow fear inside of you. When there's a bunch of fear inside of you, you're going to start doing things that you're going to regret. You're going to start hurting people close to you. You're going to start playing by Satan's playbook, basically. Like you're giving him a back door into your life.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't do that.
Don't do it. So here's another interesting thing. We can focus on Noel, but when Noel was actually in Mexico for those 3 weeks, Marcus really couldn't do anything to affect her situation. And yet, because he's worried about it and stewing on it, it affected some people he was around. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, the salt and light, this is what the sermon series has been on for the last 6 weeks, somewhere around
more,
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So, this salt, or this light, when you put a lampshade over a light, it dims the light. Right? You can't see it as good. So at work for like for 3 weeks before Noelle went to Mexico, and even part of the time when she was in Mexico, like, I was so consumed with this worry that I wasn't even myself, you know. Guys at work are coming and saying, hey, what's going on, man? And, you know, these guys, I spend a lot of time around these guys, and they see who I normally am all the time. And for them to come to me and say, you know, something's a little bit off, dude, is there's definitely something going on in your life, in my life, you know. And so, you know, if there was like this flavor scale of, one being kind of really low and 10 being the highest, I think during that period of time, I was probably like a 1.5 bland, you know. Yeah. Well, so Travis Kelce's got this one chip challenge deal, you know, where you take this chip and you eat it, and it's the spiciest thing known to man. And when I got Jesus, I'm pretty close to there, you know what I'm saying? Like 9 out of 10 on this one chip challenge.
Yeah. So Marcus is on this asphalt crew, you know, all these guys working, and they can tell something's up with him, right? And a lot of times we can get hyper-focused on the person we care about, especially like a daughter or something like that. And so you're obsessed with worrying about this one person. If you look at it from God's perspective, though, or even let's just imagine for a minute that your brother works on Marcus's crew, and your brother's kind of a mess. He doesn't know anything about Jesus, and he's really messing up his life. If you knew that Marcus was on his crew, you'd be really excited. You're like, hey, there's this good Christian man. Like, they're on his crew. Like, they can interact, and Marcus can be a good example. But then you realize, like, there's all this dead zone where Marcus is so worried that he's not making any impact on the person that you care about, right? Because he's so focused on somebody that he can't even touch in that moment. And when God looks at the world, like, yeah, he cares about Noelle, but Marcus has to just trust Noelle to God that moment. But God also cares about all those other guys on the asphalt crew, and he's given Marcus an opportunity to actually change those guys, but worry is covering up Marcus's light. Just putting a cover right over the top of it, so nothing's coming through. All this goodness in Marcus, he's just bland, you know? Yeah.
So the next part of the sermon, we're going to talk about how we're all traitors in some way. Not traitors like we're going to betray somebody, you know, but traitors as in we all trade our time for money. We trade our money for different items at the store, our cars, our rent, or anything that we need, we trade our money for or our time for. An athlete, he trades his pain for gain. He trades his hard work and endurance for a little bit more muscle. When we go to the movies, we trade our time and our money, and in this day and age, it's a lot of money, to watch a movie so that we can have laughter and a little bit of enjoyment. But today, not only today, but all the time, Jesus is offering us, the creator of the universe is offering us the deal of a lifetime. He's asking to trade all of our worry, all of our hopeless situations, for his peace and his hope.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The creator of the universe is asking to trade our worries, our hope, our hopeless situation for his peace and his hope. This ain't no better deal than that.
Yeah.
So yesterday, I get to take my daughter Noelle and drop her off at K-State for college. You know, so I got a daughter in KU, and I have a daughter at K-State.
Yeah.
And I live in Missouri.
Yeah.
So I get to drop her off at K-State. Well, you know, what a privilege that is. But so 3 or 4 months ago, my daughter wrecked her car, and she no longer has a car. So I'm dropping my daughter off at K-State with a bicycle and a truckload of clothes and just different things that she needs, you know? It's a pretty scary situation. It's definitely a big, huge recipe for a lot of worry on a father's behalf, you know? And after we got to spend all day together and moved her in there, you know, I'm on my way back, and you know, I'm like, Jesus, I just, I just want your peace, man. I don't want to worry about Noelle and what's going to happen, or if she's going to have a ride home or anything like that, or how I'm going to get her a car. But I trust you, Jesus. And it was like Jesus gave me this peace that can only come from him. And, you know, he let me know that she's going to be okay.
Right. Amen.
You know? And that, you know, I don't really have to have it all figured out, because if I got it all figured out, there ain't much room for him in there.
Yeah.
But I know that he's going to make a way for her to get a car. Most of all, he's going to make a way for her to get the best education that, you know, that she can possibly get. So.
Amen. So I'm going to hand this thing back to Marcus to take us home here in just a second. But I want to look at this verse again. And Mark is not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect person. None of us at Maywood are perfect. I mean, that's why we're here at church, okay? And we need Jesus' help. But this is what it says here. It says, Jesus is saying, if you put my things first, and if you do right action, that's what live righteously is. It's like, do the right thing. Then I'll give you everything that you need. And Marcus is not perfect, but Marcus's life is about doing the things that Jesus cares about, okay? He's not perfect, but we've all seen Marcus do some things that he didn't really want to do because it was the right thing to do, you know? Thank you, Jody. So, last night when he's praying, he told me this morning, you know, like, normally he has a hard time falling asleep sometimes, but last night, as soon as hit the pillow, he's asleep, because he just has this peace, because he's able to say, like, Jesus, I trust my daughter to you. This thing that would normally stress him out, he's able to just say, here it is, God. And God trades him all that stress and worry and fills his hands up with peace.
Yeah, I was like, so I was at the, you know, I was at the Kansas City Chiefs game last night. And normally after the Chiefs game, you know, you're not going to go to sleep just like right away. You know, there's no coincidence that, you know, I'm preaching on worry and fear today, you know. And, man, I honestly thought whenever I laid my head down last night, like, man, this is going to be a long night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because normally I can't sleep after a Chiefs game. Normally I can't sleep whenever I know that there's something big coming the next day. Yeah. But, like, Jesus had this peace. And you know what? If you're here today and you want to trade your peace for your worry for Jesus' peace, I invite you to come down here with me and Jake and pray about this. We're going to have all the team captains and the small group leaders come down here too. And the creator of the universe is offering you the deal of a lifetime. He's offering you something that it's amazing. It's amazing to give it to him and to experience what he has for you. Amen. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up.
Amen.
And then I'll just go ahead and pray before they come up. So, Father God, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come up here today and to preach your word, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you for being with me through this whole thing, Lord. And, Lord, I just ask that, you know, that this, if this sermon touched anybody and they want to pray and they want to receive that peace that you offer, Lord, that they would come down, come forward and pray about those things, Lord. And most of all, I just ask that you would invade their hearts so that they can experience your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.